जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी
जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय
जय यशोद नंदना जय प्रज जन रंजना जय यशोद नंदना जय प्रज जन रंजना जय यमुन तीर वन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी 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 जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय श्री श्री राधा माधव की जय श्री कृष्ण बलराम जी की जय श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मई की जय श्री श्री लड्डू गोपाल जी की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय नरसिंह भगवान की श्रील प्रभुपाद की श्रील गुरुदेव की अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
सो वी लुक एट द फर्स्ट कैंटो सेकंड चैप्टर 6th verse. Thank you, Guru. It's very nice, important verse. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo
Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo
Yato Bhakti Radoksaje
Yato Bhakti Radoksaje
Ahai Tuki Apratihata
Ahai Tuki
Apratihata
Yayatma
Suprasidati Yayatma
Suprasidati
Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radokshaje Ahai Tuki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radoksaje Ahai Tuki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati Anyone like to chant?
Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo
Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo
Yato Bhakti Radokshaje
Yato Bhakti Radokshaje
Ahai Tuki Apratihata
Yayatma Suprasidati Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radoksaje Ahai Tuki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati
Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo
Yato Bhakti Radoksaje
Ahai Tuki Apratihata
Yayatma Suprasidati Saha.
That.
Why?
Certainly.
Pumsam.
For mankind.
Paraha.
Sublime.
Dharmaha.
Occupation.
Yataha.
By which?
Bhaktihi.
Devotional service.
Adoksaje.
Unto the transcendence.
Ahaituki.
Causeless.
Apratihata.
Unbroken.
Yaya.
By which?
Atma.
The self.
Suprasidati.
Completely satisfied.
Translation.
And purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Please repeat this wonderful translation.
The supreme occupation,
dharma,
for all humanity,
is that
by which men
can attain
to loving devotional service
unto the transcendent Lord.
Such devotional service
must be unmotivated
and uninterrupted
to completely satisfy the self.
Let's hear the purport.
In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called Pravritti Marga, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called Nivritti Marga, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the Supreme Cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable and illusory, is inferior. But
Devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation or for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service of the Lord, without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive activities, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is a complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauri Dvishe Namaha Pancha Kalpatru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very important verse, and just few lines we can speak on this verse, which is very important. Whenever people speak about occupation, people ask, what do you do? We always say that our occupation is lawyer, doctor, engineer, accountant, IT. But here, Prabhupada makes it very clear that our real occupation, first business, is to render devotional service. So this is the first point we have to remember. Over and above everything else, we may be fathers, mothers, children, daughters, sons-in-laws, mothers-in-laws, but they are all designations. The only spiritual designation is that we are actually servants of the Lord. If we can just remember that, then we will always never forget that our first business is to please Krishna. That is why it is said, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo. Many other occupations we have, but all other occupations have no meaning until this occupation is done. Then, as a devotee, you become Krishna conscious father. Then as devotee, you become Krishna conscious child. Otherwise, what happens is, every occupation will bind us to this world. This occupation frees us from the world. This is the beauty. That's why it's considered as paro dharmo. It is supreme. It is the highest. That which is the highest should not drag you to the lowest. Otherwise, why should it be the highest? So if we remember this, then there is a starting point of our devotional service. Savai pumsam paro dharmo. And this paro dharmo is very simple. Yatho bhaktir adok saje. It is to render devotional service. That's the key. It is not to take service, but it is to give service. That is important. Otherwise, very often, even as devotees, we place so many demands before Krishna. But we forget that our main duty is not to place the demands before Him. Our main duty is to serve Him based on His demands. If we serve Him based on His demands, then we become peaceful. The reason why we are not peaceful even while in devotional service is because Krishna is our order supplier. And every day we have a shopping list. And the list gets longer and longer, the more longer we are in this world. And everything in the name of devotional service, we say, Krishna, you have to give, you have to give, you have to give. But we have to stop to think, what should we give Krishna? That giving is service. That giving for a higher cause is service. True, when you give your life for Krishna, like all of you have done here, you'll find that very often, sometimes health goes. Sometimes so many things are sacrificed. But Krishna made it very clear to Arjuna before he fought. If you don't fight for me, by nature you'll have to fight. Either you fight under Maya or you fight under my directions. If you fight under my directions, when you die, you don't come back. But if you fight under Maya's direction, you die to come back. That's the difference. So, if we have to die during the Mangala Arati because we're very tired and we woke up every day and we lack sleep and we die during Mangala Arati, what loss is there? We die during Mangala Arati. That means we are free. So what is the worst that can happen to us in this material world? We'll die. That's all. Nothing else. Can't get anything worse than that. Now, if while performing all these services, if our body goes, we are really free. That is the thing why devotion service has no loss. Whichever way you argue, devotion service has no loss. No loss. Nobody who performed devotion service ever lost. They always gained. Those who did not perform devotional service or performed it in such a way that they wanted things from Krishna, very often Krishna would give them. But by giving them, that did not guarantee that they were happy. Indra got Swargaloka so many times from Bhagavatam, but that doesn't mean that he was happy. Vritasur lost the battle and he was killed by Indra in the end. Indra took 365 days to cut Vritasur's neck. Do you know that? 1 year he took to cut Vritasur's neck with his thunderbolt. 1 year he did only that. He did nothing else but try to cut his neck. Imagine 1 year of your life just going like that. But after that, Indra was chased by sin personified for 1,000 years. He was chased and chased because he had killed Vritasur, who is a Brahmana and a devotee. But the main reason why he killed Vritasur was to enjoy. What did he get? He got opposite of enjoyment. Suffered like anything. Had to go and hide in the lotus stem of the flower in the Himalayas. And there, like a coward, he had to stay. Because if he came out, he would be caught. Vritasur, what happened to him after he died? Because he remembered Krishna as he left this world, he went back to Krishna. See the difference. Both are devotees. But one devotee wanted things from Krishna. The other devotee only wanted to serve Krishna. This is the difference. So that is what this verse is telling us. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yathor bhakti radok saje. So this devotional service, in order for it to become very pleasing, in order for it to become very satisfying, it must be done only in two ways. It must be done in way of haituki and apratihata. Very important. If these two are there, then the last line is very important. Yayatma suprasidati. Suprasidati, Prabhupada translates as not satisfied, completely satisfied. See the difference. Otherwise, Prabhupada could have said just satisfied. The only way we can really become completely satisfied is if we perform the devotional service in this way. Ahaituki, apratihata. No motivation and no interruption. Sometimes the question is asked by devotees, no motivation, no interruption. Which one comes first? How to make the devotional service? Should we first start by not being interrupted and then become motivated? Or should we be not motivated and become uninterrupted? Actually, Prabhupada explains the same point in the 6th canto, 16th chapter, 34th verse. 6:16:34 in the purport. Prabhupada makes it very clear. If you really want to perform devotional service, first you must start without motive in heart. If there is no motivation in the heart, then Krishna allows you to perform uninterrupted service. That's the key. The moment there is some motive in the heart, then by Maya's arrangement, you will do service, then something will happen. Or you'll find some reason, Prabhu, I can't come, I can't do this, I can't do that. The mind will give you the favorable arguments, why to wake up for Mangalarti, I'm very tired. All these reasons will come and your service gets interrupted. You can see in your own life. The minimum interruption in your service, to that extent, your motivation is correct. Then we are on the right path. See how practical it is. The moment we are interrupted in our services, then we can come to know immediately, something is wrong with my motive. I'm coming to Krishna to take. I'm not coming to Krishna to serve. That is very easy for us. Immediately we can know. If you cannot wake up for Mangalarti whole life, then the motive is wrong. If the motive to wake up for Mangalarti is to glorify Krishna, somehow or another Krishna will wake you up. Definitely. Because Bhagavatam tells us, when we go to sleep, the soul is involved in going to sleep. But Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev says in the 3rd canto, he says, but when we go to sleep, to wake up, only the super soul wakes us up. It's a very important point. Our soul never wakes us up. Because when the soul goes to sleep, it has no power to wake up. It is the super soul that wakes us up. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, supposing the super soul doesn't want to wake us up, then we don't wake up. And the super soul doesn't want you to wake up at all, then you die. How nice his purport is, you know? It is in 3rd canto, 25th or 26th chapter. So that's why our prayer, every time we go to sleep, is not to tell the deities before we sleep, Krishna, I'm putting you to sleep. In the morning, I'll wake you up. This is mistaken prayer. Our prayer should be, Krishna, now I'm going to sleep. You please kindly wake me up, so that then I can wake you up. So it is just, that is the real prayer. Once we understand that, then we have knowledge, transcendental knowledge, that without Krishna's sanction, we can't wake up. Really, we cannot wake up. So we have to really depend on Krishna. That dependence is unmotivated. It is a dependence of a child on the father, child on the mother. When a child depends on mother and father, it depends on them without motivation. It's depending purely on the platform of love, isn't it? That's the innocence of a child. That's why Prabhupada told us, when we chant Krishna's names, we chant it as a child cries out to its mother. That's the closest in this world that we get, which is unmotivated. When a mother loves a child, it is the closest we can understand to unmotivated. Because sometimes you see children, they are so terrible. You know, there's a phrase in English, you know, that the child is so bad that only a mother can love him. No other person can love him. And when you ask the mother, why you are loving this boy? You know, he's ungrateful, he has done so many bad things to you. But the mother will say, at the end of the day, he's still my child. So this is the mood of the Lord. So unmotivation, if you really want to be uninterrupted in service, then please always remember, what is our motivation? And what should be our motivation? Our motivation is to only satisfy Krishna. By satisfying Krishna, we become yayatma suprasidati. We become satisfied. That is the service attitude. I just have two nice episodes to remember and we can end. Because the aim I wanted to have in this verse is ahaituki apratihata. We should be clear about this part because everyone is doing service. But once we understand this point, then we will know that there is satisfaction. You remember Govinda, the close associate of Mahaprabhu. Govinda in Mahaprabhu's Leela, his duty was always to massage Lord's lotus feet. Very, very intimate service. One day after ecstatic kirtan in Srivast Thakur's house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very tired. The other devotees are going to have prasadam, but Mahaprabhu decides he wants to lie down for a while. So what he does, he doesn't go straight into the room. He lies down right at the edge of the doorway, you know, just lying on the edge of the doorway. Govinda is on this side. Now Govinda has to cross over to sit down, and then he can massage Mahaprabhu's feet. And you know, Vedically, it is not proper etiquette to cross over, because our body is the temple of God. What to speak, the body, transcendental body of Mahaprabhu, who will dare cross it? So Govinda then requested, Lord, please move so that I can cross and I can massage your feet. Mahaprabhu said, do whatever you want. Very mysterious reply. You do as you please. Not yes, not no. Just do as you please. Then Govinda thought, I have to do the service of massaging your lotus feet. If I cross over you, in his heart he's thinking, I will go to hell. After I do the service, I'll definitely go to hell. And again he asked Mahaprabhu, and again Mahaprabhu said, do as you please. So Govinda crosses over Mahaprabhu, and he sits down and starts massaging Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. After 40 minutes or so, Mahaprabhu says, I'm going to take rest. Govinda, now you cross over and go and take some prasadam. Don't wake me up. I'll wake up later. Half an hour, 1 hour later, Mahaprabhu wakes up. He turns around and he sees Govinda is sitting exactly where he was an hour ago. And he's just chanting silently. So Mahaprabhu said, you didn't go for prasadam. Why did you not cross over? And Prabhupada translates that part. Govinda became silent when the Lord asked him. And in his heart, he was just chanting Mahaprabhu's names and his glories. And Mahaprabhu could understand in his heart what Govinda was thinking, and he became very pleased. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Govinda crossed over Mahaprabhu so that his service to the Lord would be uninterrupted. His only motivation was to serve the Lord. Whatever was the result of that service on himself was not important. If he went to hell because he served the lotus feet of the Lord, so be it. Hell is pleasing if he can serve Krishna. But the next round when he had to cross over, that prasadam he was going to honor was for his stomach. And if he had crossed over then the service for the Lord would not have been for the pleasure of the Lord. It would have been for the pleasure of himself. So Prabhupada makes such a beautiful statement for such a simple episode. And in that entire episode, we come to get an understanding of Ahaituki Apratihata. Govinda was prepared to die. So just like sage Dadichi was prepared to give up his body because Krishna told Indra, take his bones. He was ready to give it up. Because he was unmotivated, his service was uninterrupted. And he attained the lotus feet of Krishna. See how beautiful it is. This is the mood of a devotee. He is ready. Remember when Krishna said he had transcendental headache? And he told Narada Muni, you go everywhere and take dust. Find out who will give you. And Narada Muni went everywhere, isn't it? He went to Brahmaji, he went to all the exalted devotees. And everyone said, look, we are devotees, but frankly, dust of our lotus feet on Krishna's head, we are going to go to hell. When he finally comes to the gopis in Vrindavan, what do? They say, gladly, if you can take all the dust under all our feet, take it. But when Narada said, you're going to hell for it. They said, well, is that important where we go? What's important is, does it please Krishna? And in doing so, they came. Narada could understand, this is Ahaituki Apratihata. It's very important. Once they have that mood, then the gopis, even though they were not with Krishna physically, they were always with him on the platform of service. That's why genuinely, if he went to the forest, they could not bear separation from him. Because he was always with them. And there was no motivation except to please Krishna. That's all. So this is the mood that Govinda showed us. The other mood that is also manifested by uninterrupted service, which is unmotivated, is eagerness to serve. Those who are eager to please Krishna, they are prepared to sacrifice anything. If you don't have eagerness, you cannot serve Krishna. Isn't it true? If someone gives service and you start blaming, why I am getting the service all the time. Man, there are devotees who are waiting for service. But sometimes the maya is so strong, we say, oh, why I am always getting the service. It's too much, it's too much, it's too much. And when that happens, Krishna will say, okay, it's too much, right? Never mind, I'll take it away. Then once he takes it away, then again we complain, oh, why now I don't have service, why I don't have service, why I don't have service. It's very difficult. That's why leaders, thankless tasks. You give too much, You give too little, you give, you don't give. Either way, they will always say, why this is like that, why this is not like that. There's no end to it. But we don't see that it's not coming from so-and-so. It's not coming from so-and-so. It is coming from Krishna. If Krishna wants you to stretch until you die, you should become Suprasivati. Otherwise, you'll die in another way anyway. Better to die for Krishna. We don't lose anything. Eagerness. We should smile. Smile. My Guru Maharaj always told me one golden rule. He told me, Devaki, if you ask anyone to take service, if the person hesitates even for a moment, you say Haribol. Because in that hesitation, the service has become interrupted. Very important point. Otherwise, what will happen is, you are doing, you are washing, and you are complaining. What kind of service is that? On one hand, I am doing, but Krishna, why I must do? This is not ahaituki apratihata. One good example we can have, and that's the second example I was saying, is Hanumanji. Hanumanji's eagerness to serve is unparalleled amongst devotees. So much so that other devotees became so fed up with Hanuman, especially Sita Mata and Lakshman. Because wherever Lord was, Hanumanji was there. In the night when Hanumanji was supposed to go and leave Sita Mata with the husband, he was there waiting to massage Lord's feet. Isn't it? He was everywhere. And monkeys being monkeys, you know, they are everywhere. They just find a way to go somewhere. So it came to a point that Sita and Lakshman decided, we have to drop the list of services. Okay, we'll do rota basis. Everybody will have a list. We'll put it up on notice board outside Lord Ram's house, his palace. Everybody will know what they have to do. So Hanumanji heard about this. And he came and he read through the service and found his name was not there. Imagine how you feel in the yatra. Yatra leader gives everybody service. You look at the list, hey, my service is not there. And all the time he was with Ram only. So he became very sad. But Sita Mata and Lakshman, they were thinking, at least this time we get to do the service. So they did everything. So he comes up to Lord Ram in the assembly and says, my Lord, I don't have any service to do for you. And I'm so eagerly wanting to do some service. So Lakshman says, you know, please look at the list. And he says, my name is not there. Then Lakshman says, doesn't matter. Your service is to remember Lord Ram. You sit in one corner and chant Lord Ram's name. But Hanumanji can't do that. He's monkey. He has to move. He's active. So he's thinking what to do. His eagerness is very strong. His desire is strong. And Krishna reciprocates whenever you have desire for service. If you have desire to read Bhagavatam, Krishna will facilitate. If you have desire to cook for Krishna, he will facilitate. Why would Krishna want to put obstacles when you want to serve him? Just think logically. Why would he want to do that? The only obstacle that's coming is our conditioning. Not from the Lord. Never from the Lord. It is our defect. Never the Lord. So in his eagerness, he's waiting. And at that point, all the services were all planned out. So Lakshman and Sita Mata were smiling because they thought, now we have caught Hanumanji. And all of a sudden, Lord Ram yawns very loudly. And the moment he yawns, Hanumanji jumps like a monkey right next to the Lord and he snaps his finger. You know, we do that, isn't it? So he snaps the finger. And Lord Ram becomes very pleased. He says, oh, Lakshman, is that on the list? Is it on the list? Lord Ram is smiling because he knows Hanumanji's heart. Lakshman now is thinking, oh, Sita Mata is worried. They look at the list. No, my Lord, it's not on the list. Then Lord Ram said, all right, let this be his service. So Hanumanji is very happy. So Lakshman is thinking, all right, it's just snapping only, right? So he says, okay, Hanumanji, now you can go. Hanumanji refuses to move. Lakshman says, why you won't move? Hanumanji says, do you know when Lord Ram is going to yawn? Lakshman says, no, I don't. Hanumanji, neither do I. That means I have to be next to him all the time. Just waiting. The moment he yawns, I have to quickly snap. We won't know when the Lord is going to yawn. How do we know what is the Lord going to do? So this service is 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days. And in his eagerness, ahaituki apratihata. And because he did that, Govinda was always pleased and satisfied. Hanumanji was always satisfied. Ritaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. This is the beauty of this verse. So when we take up service, service is non-different from Krishna. By His mercy, He's giving us service. We should always remember these great personalities, how they did service, and be happy in our service. Thank you for the service, Prabhuji. This wonderful service of remembering Bhagavatam is so pleasing, you know. Speaking on Bhagavatam is one thing, but acting on it is another. Acting on it comes very easily in the association of like-minded devotees. If we encourage each other after hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam will respond to us. We forget, actually Bhagavatam is more alive than you and I. We are dead, but Bhagavatam is very alive. Bhagavatam speaks to us through Prabhupada's purports. When we are in difficulty, when we are happy, when we are going to die, we should just be with Bhagavatam. Safe. Prabhupada was asked once by Dr. Patel, if the temple went on fire, what will you do? Prabhupada said, I'll grab my Bhagavatam and run. So Prabhupada, Dr. Patel asked, Prabhupada, if that is the case, what about the deities? You can't leave the deities. Prabhupada looked at him very coolly and said, when they see me running with Bhagavatam, deities will run also. You don't have to worry. Deities will run also, because Bhagavatam is going, deities will come. So that way Prabhupada wanted to show why he gave his life to giving us Bhagavatam. Why towards the end of his life, with the last breath that he had, if you have seen that video of Prabhupada, you will see how he was dictating those transcendental purports at a time when our consciousness would be struggling just to be alive. There must be a reason why the Acharya has done that. Thank you, Prabhu Smatajis. Hare Krishna.